Come, Holy Spirit, and enkindle in the hearts of your faithful the fire of your love. Amen. Good morning, Trinity Church. So the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but it grows to become the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree where birds of the air can come and make nests in its branches. I remember his blue jeans. He wore Rustlers, the wrong brand, a Kmart knockoff of Wranglers, which were themselves a notch below Lee, which were a notch below the Levi's that I wore, which were all several notches below the fashion brands from Chess King and Dillard's and Lola Herndon's dress shop. And his Rustlers did not fit, built like a brick turned on its side. I'm not sure what brand or what size would have had him looking like the magazine ads, but he rolled his at the cuffs because they were too long, and he cinched them with the belt at his waist because they were too big. He attached himself to our high school's personalities with a fealty usually reserved for Hollywood stars and professional athletes. He interested himself in their accomplishments on the field and on the courts, in the classrooms, even during the weekends. In his deep voice, country even for North Louisiana, he'd hook his thumbs through the loops above his front pockets and tell any half-willing listener about some athlete's purported collegiate scouting by a local staff, or a debutante's new car, or a who's who's academic rank. And despite the absence of any proof, indeed, when others would have accounted evidence to the contrary, he shared his dispatches with the gladness of reciprocal relationships, as though in some other bright corner of campus, these classmates about whom he spoke were speaking of him with the same energy and interest and goodwill as he was speaking of them. I saw him in 2004 or 2005 at the Johnny's Pizza in Madison Park, right there across from where the El Chico's used to be, where Fern Avenue turns into Gilbert Drive. Living around the corner in the first house that my wife and I bought after seminary, I'd come to pick up my order after a Saturday of working in the yard. "Morgan Allen," he called out as I walked through the door. I remember feeling a spark of delight at being recognized, that satisfaction of being known in one's hometown, though humility does remind me now that he had the benefit of my name written on the order. No matter, he was affable as always, asking on me briefly before launching into tales of a particular classmate for whom he'd always shown a special shine. As he moved from between the ovens and the register to come around and shake my hand, I began the social calculus of measuring as precisely as possible the minimum length of time that I would need to speak with him before I could announce my leaving without causing hurt. Missy and our infant son were waiting on me for supper, and I didn't want my pizza to get cold. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. He was born the year before I was, but my senior yearbook indicates that Caddo Parish classified him as a sophomore when I graduated. I found his picture, and he wears a coat and tie in the black and white photo, the only person so dressed that I can find. I don't know if that formality speaks to his parents' sensibilities or to his, but now, as the father of my own high school sophomore, I find his photograph immediately endearing. His suit says to me that he takes pride in himself, and he looks just on the edge of a laugh, like at any moment he could break into a good, hard, belly-shaking laugh. And I can remember him laughing like that. I can also remember him at lunch, his acne really no worse than the rest of ours, but somehow dotting his face in maximally unfortunate constellations. He stands in the circle drive connecting the gym's rear door, the cafeteria, and just in front of that neighborhood of pale yellow T-building classrooms, and he's looking for someone, anyone, to tell what he'd heard in the locker room that morning. I can remember him after school, his ROTC hat folded in the same hand, clenching a haggard backpack. He stands near the parking lot, sweatily asking passersby for a ride home, a ride to the game, a ride to the dance. And I can remember him darting to the practice field, darting maybe a little strong, but no strand of his fuzzy brown hair moving individually. He devotedly ferries plastic water bottles to the team practicing in shells, that is, helmets and shoulder pads, in the August heat or the spring heat, always the heat. Water sloshing everywhere in his hands full. He reaches around himself to pull on his belt, keep his britches up. His coach claps and hollers at him to hurry. Kingdom of Heaven is like treasure hidden in a field where someone found and hid, and then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. While on pandemic staycation week before last, I was washing away concrete residue after installing the anchor for a driveway basketball goal when my phone buzzed with a link to his obituary. More than only the 2,000 miles from Shreveport, I was a million miles away from thinking about him when I read that he had died on July the 12th. The short announcement recalled that he was a friend to everyone and a beloved uncle. He was always willing to help and assist any friends or family with whatever they needed. He loved sports, especially wrestling and football, going to the movies, and a nice cold Coca-Cola. I glanced up from the death notice to see that sophomore son of mine picturing where the new hoop would go and then stepping the 15 feet to the free throw line. Michael adjusted an invisible jersey and dribbled an imaginary ball. He bent his knees, took a breath, and then sent his shot spinning through a net that was not yet there. I could see, too, my teenage daughter snapping her bike helmet around a mask her mother had made for her. A flowery print on white fabric with white piping, Missy stitched a bit of floral wire into the bridge to snug it against Jenna's nose, just behind a strip of soft athletic tape that she added so that the seams wouldn't rub. Jenna adjusted her sunglasses, sounded the bell on her handlebars, and then she pedaled off for a combo ride, she told me, through routes 3 and 1 of the 4 approved circuits that we had mapped together on Google Earth. Returning to my phone, his remembrance had one post to its online guest book. "I'm going to miss your smiling face," a Mary writes. She continues, "You were one of the customers I enjoyed seeing coming through my line in Albertson's Grocery. You will be truly missed, my friend." Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. I do not know how he died, but his obituary's silence on the subject troubles me. Though I'm not active on social media, a fellow classmate shared that he had seen one of his Facebook posts in the last year that asked, "Repost this if you have a friend who has depression or suicidal thoughts." And only one person had given him a thumbs up. And now I can see him in his Rustlers, in his ROTC uniform, in his sweet coat and tie, holding a sign with those words, "If you have a friend, if you have a friend in me." All those frailties and insecurities that most of us work so hard to hide, written on his skin, accented in his voice, as he stands there during lunch hour, and after school, and in the early evening at Johnny's, I dig for my car keys and I look past him. I check my watch And I keep walking. Jesus asks his friends, "Have you understood all this?" "Yes," the disciples answer. Jesus' wisdom sayings, our many and varied lives, these coded 19 days, resurrection and crucifixion crashing in all at once, inscrutable and utterly heart-splitting. 30 years ago, shouldering my anxieties was as much as I could carry, was more than I could carry. And 15 years ago, Jesus, week before last, caring for my family and keeping myself upright to face a world so maddeningly beautiful and painful, felt like more than I could do. Feels like more than could be reasonably expected of anyone. Even so, Lord, have mercy on me. I could have loved him enough. I could have loved you, God, enough to have delayed my supper long enough to have sought to see him, to really see him. I could have taken seats across from one another and those booths right there next to the counter. Not forever, just for a few sips of an ice cold fountain Coke. Could have caught up a little, celebrated the complicated blessing of those seasons that we had shared, acknowledged the ones that we had traveled apart since then, and even imagined what might be coming next for each of us. Lord, we do not understand. I do not understand. What about the shrubs that do not grow into trees? The seeds that the sun bleaches and the world turns to dust? What about the yeast that does not rise, Lord? Those lost pearls that no one finds? What about the treasures still hidden in those fields, too inconvenient, too tedious to explore? What is our responsibility to one another? Who is responsible for whom? Lord, where are you in all of this? Oh God, in our suffering, in our struggle, in our loneliness, in our confusion, be with us. Hold us always in your holy hope. Pry away from us all arrogance and apathy. Strengthen us to approach this disease-divided world with your love. With your love. Inspire in us kindness. Join us in bonds of friendship. Friendship. Remind us of your image impressed upon us, impressed upon all, and accomplish your purposes in us. Make us, O God, like the kingdom of heaven. Make us like the kingdom of heaven. All this we ask through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.